Well, if you take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 119, we're working on the portion of Scripture that covers the Hebrew letter Samech. This is verses 113 through 120. So if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you are physically able, we will read these eight verses all together this evening, beginning in verse 113. I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe, and I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. Thou hast trodden down all them that err from thy statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. Thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore I love thy... My flesh trembleth for fear of thee, and I am afraid of thy judgments. Well, we've been talking through these things and working on these verses. We're going to begin in verse 116 tonight. But if you'll remember, back in verse 113, we talked about the vain thoughts that we have to combat and that we ought to hate those vain thoughts. We looked at the hiding place of the Word of God and how it is our shield and our hope. We talked about departing, having evildoers depart from us, and keeping the commandments of God. So I want you to notice some interesting terminology that's presented tonight. Look at verse 116. David says, uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. He says in the very first word, he uses a unique word. It is the word uphold. Uphold. Now, believe it or not, uphold and hold up are not the same. You would think so, but they're not. Uphold is unique. Uphold means to support in any state, to sustain, to keep from falling or slipping. So we have here a reference of being upheld or to uphold where something is being supported, something is being sustained, something is being kept from slipping or falling. David says, uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. Now remember, back in verse 114, he says, I hope in thy law, thy word. So God's word is David's hope. And he says, uphold me according to it, to that hope. Sustain me, support me, keep me from falling or slipping. You know, I think in our lives, we need to call out to God and have God be the one that upholds us in our lives. To be upheld by God is to be supported by Him. Can anyone think of a greater support than God? I cannot. Can anyone think of a greater sustaining force than God? Can anyone think of a greater power that can keep us from falling or slipping in our lives than God and His Word? I think David properly said, uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. You know what? I think we ought to consider those words very carefully as we listen to a few other examples in Scripture. Psalm chapter 3. David says, "But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me." Yes, he was upheld by God. And there was a sustaining there that David experienced. In Psalm 51, David said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation," wait for it, "and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." Aren't you interested that he used that same word, asking God to uphold him with his free spirit, to support him, to sustain him, to keep him from falling or slipping? In Psalm 54, David said, "Behold, God is mine helper. The Lord is with them that uphold my soul." David had a support group, a support staff, and he had those that helped sustain and to uphold and keep from slipping his soul. You understand that it's good that brethren dwell together in unity, and that we have one another to bear each other's burdens and to lift one another up in prayer and to even sometimes say, "Hey, brother, hey, sister, you can't do that. That's all right. Or you ought not do that," depending upon the circumstance. But you know what? There's a support group there. There's a sustaining group there. There's something there to help to uphold. In Proverbs 29, Solomon said, "A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit." You understand that these things are our opposites. This thing of pride and this thing of humility, we've talked about that before. Last time I checked, pride brings one to destruction. Pride brings one to stumble. But yet humility keeps us from falling or slipping. Isn't that interesting? You know, I've kind of enjoyed these details as I've really kind of searched the nooks and crannies of these things. But it's evident in Scripture as we go down through these things how these words are very well used by the psalmist. I don't know why I'm surprised. It is God's word. Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God." Listen to what God says to Isaiah and the people of Israel. "I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Hey folks, it's God. To whom did David go to cry out and say, "Uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope"? God said, "It's me. I'm the one. I'll support you. I'll sustain you. I'll keep you from falling or slipping. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness." Later on in Isaiah 42, it is mentioned here. If you want to take your Bibles and turn there, I'm going to read verses 1 through 9. It's a quite a lengthy passage here, but it's very explanatory of what we're talking about. And Isaiah 42 verse 1 says, "Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he have set judgment in the earth. And the isles shall wait for his law. Thus saith God, the Lord, that he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and the spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord. That is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them." Isn't it interesting how he talks about these things here? And you know what? You can definitely see some foretellings here of Christ and what he would do as he came forth to the work of God. But it's interesting how it says in the very beginning, "Behold my servant whom I uphold." God is the foundation. And as David went and cried out, he said, "Uphold me." He was talking to God. God is the source. God is the one. He will strengthen us. He will help us. He will uphold us with the right hand of his righteousness. Over in Hebrews chapter 2, the Bible says, "Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip." You see, we ought not to go through our lives just slipping around, being tossed about to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Hey, listen, last I checked, the Word of God was the source of non-slippage. Yeah. Hey, I think I've been told that either this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. No, that's not a proverb either. Okay? It's just a very wise saying. But do you understand that if we're going to be upheld in our lives, supported, sustained, kept from falling or slipping, God and his word is where it's at. You understand that we need to give the more earnest heed to the things of God and to the word of God. In Hebrews it goes on and says, "For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will." You understand that this is our hope. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. Our hope is in the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The psalmist said, "Uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live. And let me not be ashamed of my hope." Over in Genesis, in chapter 28, it says this, And behold, the Lord stood above it, and said, "I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest," he's talking to Jacob here, "to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee, and in thy seed, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee, until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. But did you notice who was the sustainer and who was the keeper of Jacob and of the covenant and of these things? It is and was the Lord. He is the upholder of our lives. In Proverbs chapter 2, it says, when wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, and from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness, to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil, and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked, and they froward in their paths. Remember, wisdom cried out, called out unto men. God says, if anybody lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Wisdom is with God, remember, from the beginning. We understand that this is important to keep us from the way of the evil man. In Proverbs chapter 6, Solomon said, my son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, listen to this, it shall lead thee. What is it? Well, this thing that we've bound in our heart and about our neck. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Back to Psalms 119. Uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. The wonderful word of God. Look at verse 117. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe. And I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. All right, here we go. Now we have, hold thou me up. So first we had uphold me. Now we have hold thou me up. You say, that's the same thing. Not exactly. There is a significant nuance to the difference. Now listen, if you don't think this is fun, I guess you need to go find fun somewhere else. Because I think this is fun. Why does God decide in one verse to say, uphold me? And in another verse, he says, hold thou me up. Most of us would say, it's the same thing. Why didn't he just say, hold thou me up twice, or uphold me twice? Why the difference? See, that's the part that I like. I like the why the difference. But you know what? There is a difference. So where upheld or uphold means to support in any state, to sustain, to keep from falling or slipping. Hold up means to embrace and confine. With bearing or lifting, to restrain from escape, to keep fast or retain. So you see, there is a slight difference between the two. And this one here. In other words, we have upheld is God supporting us. This is kind of what I picture with uphold. You understand? Uphold. God is supporting and sustaining and this is what I'm talking about. Is everybody, you know, uphold, right? And how, here we have being held. He says, hold thou me up and I shall be safe. So you know what I imagine here? Kind of this thing. And maybe even when one has fallen or slumped or passed out, you kind of grab him and like this. I don't know about you. I was just sitting in my office and I'm like, this is amazing. One is one of support and sustaining and there's a strength to that. This is almost a way more gentler type thing. Where he says, I'll be safe. And you have this crumpled, defeated, discouraged mess of a human being. It's kind of just grabbed and picked up and supported by God Almighty in His mighty arms. I mean, to me, I know it's just a positioning thing from here to here, but that's huge. The definition is completely different. You understand that God loves us. He is our safety. He says, hold thou me up and I shall be safe and I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. If you just kind of take a look through these two verses, they are quite different. There is somewhat of a nuance there as the feelings of the psalmist are revealed. Psalm 17, verses 4 through 6 says, concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips, I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. I have called upon thee, for thou wilt hear me. O God, incline thine ear unto me, and hear my speech. In Psalm 18, verses 35 and 36, thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. Psalm 71, verses 1 through 7 says, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me and save me. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man, for thou art my hope. O Lord God, thou art my trust from my youth. By thee I have been holden up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Romans chapter 14. And as you do, I'll read to you another psalm. Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence. When I said, my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. Shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee, which frameth mischief by a law? They gather themselves together against the soul of the righteous, and condemn the innocent blood. But the Lord is my defense, and my God is the rock of my refuge, And he shall bring upon them their own iniquity, and shall cut them off in their own wickedness. Yea, the Lord our God shall cut them off. You see, as we kind of, you can call it splitting hairs. But the difference between being upheld and being held up, I think, are quite significant. Are you there in Romans 14? Look at verse 1. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. You understand that it is God that holds us up. He's the one that gives us that embrace. He is the one that restrains and keeps fast and retains. God is the one that holds us up. In 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter says, Blessed be God, of the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again, unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. You understand that it is God that keeps us, God that holds us up. God is the one that is our embrace. He is the one that retains us. He is the one that keeps us fast. It is not our own power, but the power of God. If you think of the human life as one who is not able to stand on his own. And God is that picture of one with that picking up and that embracing. God is the one that does that for us. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe, David says. And I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. Solomon says in Proverbs 4, Get wisdom, get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, and a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Take your Bibles and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Look at verse 29. Deuteronomy 4:29. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul, when thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God, and shalt be obedient unto his voice. For the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them. You know how critical that passage of scripture is? It's very important. God is not going to let down his side of the deal. Did Israel uphold their part? No. I mean, at times they did. But overall, they did not. And as they slumped down, God was the one to hold them up. God was the one to embrace them. God was the one to restore them. God was the one to retain them. God was the one to bring them back. It was God. He was there. He was not going to leave them. He was not going to forget them. He was not going to forsake them. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 28? He said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." He's the one. And David says, uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe, and I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. Turn back to Psalm 119. You are doing a fantastic job tonight. You're right on time. I'm so thrilled. Are you there? We have an uphold. We have a hold up. And now we have trodden down. Look at this one. Thou hast trodden down all them that err from thy statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. You have a picture of God sustaining. And you have a picture of God in His comfort and mercy and grace, holding up, retaining, and restoring, and those things. And then we have a picture, and I love this word trodden. It means to set the foot, to beat or press with the feet, to crush underfoot, to trample in contempt or hatred, or to subdue. Yeah. That's like what I do when I try to kill one of those big water bugs. Yeah. Is that a Texas two-step or something? I don't know. I don't dance, so I'm not sure. Because it always takes more than one step to get a bug, right? Two steps. Okay. That was a joke. All right. Okay. Thanks for laughing. Now, thou hast trodden down all them that err from thy statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. This is a completely different attitude than the first two verses we looked at tonight. You have one of sustaining so that I can live, and holding me up that I'll be safe. But now we have judgment. We have judgment. Do you know that God is a multifaceted God? Yes, He is. Oh, yes, He's a God of mercy. Oh, yes, He's a God of grace. Oh, yes, He's a God of forgiveness. But He also is a righteous judge. And listen, my friend, if you do wrong, you should be punished. It's okay. And you know what? If you've done wrong and God decides to punish you, it's okay. It's right. And it's just. Don't be mad at God. Wrongdoing should be punished. That's a just thing. In Isaiah chapter 5, it says, "Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. And he fenced it, and gathered out the stones thereof, and planted it with the choicest vine, and built a tower in the midst of it, and also made a winepress therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem, and men of Judah, Judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes? And now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. And I will lay it waste, and it shall not be pruned, nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. But and he looked for judgment, but behold oppression, for righteousness, but behold a cry. You know what? God does love us. God is merciful. He does uphold us, and he does hold us up. But can I tell you, David says, thou hast trodden down all them that err from thy statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. You know, this is not just to David's enemies. These are to those that err from the statutes of God. Israel was his vineyard. It was his choice plant. But it brought forth wild grapes, and it was judged. God is righteous. He is a righteous judge. There was another prophecy in Isaiah chapter 18 says, woe to the land shadowing with wings, which is beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, that sendeth ambassadors by the sea, even in vessels of bulrushes upon the waters, saying, go, ye swift messengers, to a nation scattered and peeled, to a people terrible from their beginning hitherto, and a nation meted out and trodden down, whose land the rivers have spoiled. In Isaiah 25, it says, and it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. For in this mountain shall the hand of the Lord rest, and Moab shall be trodden down under him, even as the straw is trodden down for the dunghill. And he shall spread forth his hands in the midst of them, as he that swimmeth spreadeth forth his hands to swim. And he shall bring down their pride together with the spoils of their hands, and the fortress for the high fort of the walls shall he bring down, lay low, and bring to the ground, even to the dust. All them that err from thy statutes, both the enemies of Israel and the children of Israel, both the enemies of God and the children of God. Judgment is to them that err from thy statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. In Micah chapter 7, the Bible says, therefore, I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him, until he plead my cause and execute judgment for me. He will bring me forth to the light, and I shall behold his righteousness. Then she that is mine enemy shall see it, and shame shall cover her which said unto me, where is the Lord thy God? Mine eyes shall behold her. Now shall she be trodden down as the mire of the streets, in the day that thy walls are to be built. In that day shall the decree be far removed. You see, God is going to judge. God is going to trodden down all them that err from thy statutes. Isn't it interesting that God cares for us, sustains us, holds us up, but there's also a trodden down. There's also a judgment for those that err from his statutes. Take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. We need to beware of the judgment of God and stay true to his statutes, to his commandments, to his testimonies, and to his word. Luke 21, look at what it says in verse 20. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Why did all this come upon the people of God? Because they erred from his statutes. They erred from his statutes. Why is it that we experience the trodden down of God in our lives? Most of the time, because we have erred from his statutes. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, and to be cast out, and to be trodden under foot of men." What did he tell us to do? Going to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And ye shall be witnesses unto me. That's his word, right? If we err from his word, we're like salt that's to be cast out and trodden under foot of men. I just thought they were kind of interesting similarities and comparisons. David says, "Uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live. And let me not be ashamed of my hope. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe. And I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. Thou hast trodden down all them that err from thy statutes, for their deceit is falsehood." Just a few more things to think about and ponder over the wonderful word of God.